This week, we take a look at the second kaiju movie on our list by comedic kaiju director Yoshikazu Ishii after 2019's Attack of the Giant Teacher, this time with a much more monstrous focus. Will this COVID-era panic film be just what the doctor ordered, or will it dredge up bad memories in us that we wish would remain in the past? Find out as we socially distance record this week's episode via Zoom. This is Kaiju versus History, Yuzo, the biggest battle in Tokyo.
Welcome back to Kaiju vs. History. This is a corona-laden Japanese office, Miles, and joining me is a Bruce Lee impersonator lassoing a kaiju, Patrick. Patrick, how you doing this week, bud?
Yatta, Miles, we did it. What a movie. What a title. What a film in general.
Yep.
This is another one that came out while the podcast had started. And I remember seeing the kaiju and seeing the poster and be like, adding it to the list.
Yeah. And if you're on Wikizilla, like the kind of English poster is pretty rad. Like, it's a good poster.
Yes, yes, yes.
I wish it was more indicative of the movie.
Well, there's like an American, and then there's like a Japanese one that has kind of the main character standing in front of the monster. Both are good. The Japanese is, I would say, very good, very fun. Definitely does show off that monster, show off that kaiju.
Good deal. Yes, it does. This was, of course, the 2022 film, Yuzo, the Biggest Battle in Tokyo. And God, we got a little bit to talk about in terms of the making and sort of setting of this film. But before we do, Patrick, tell us what is in a title.
Kiyuki Yuzo, Jensai Sadai no Kessen, special effects comedy, Oki Yuzo's Life's Greatest Battle. What a mouthful of a title.
Yeah, honestly, no title is particularly great.
But it does, the Japanese translation does make more sense than ours. I think it's supposed to be like a big Yuzu's Life's Greatest Battle, you know, Oki right. Yuzo's. But Yuzo's Life's Greatest Battle does make sense, whereas Yuzo, the Biggest Battle in Tokyo, doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, is he the biggest battle in Tokyo? If it was like Yuzo's biggest battle, I guess it would make a good
sense. it's not a great title.
It contextually is funny in Japanese because both our main character is Yuzo, as well as his love interest's dog.
His name, yeah.
Yuzo. Big Yuzo?
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, I didn't pick up on that until the very end when she says something about Yuzo, and I'm like, wait, does he share the name with the dog?
Yeah, I've written this later in my notes for this episode, but I love the dog so much. I love it when
so cute
dogs are not trained movie dogs. Like, that dog had no idea it was in a movie.
Oh, no. That
it was just someone's dog. Yeah. He tries to pet it and just like, no. It's like, that was a real reaction.
That was a real no thank you.
Yeah, I'm good. No thanks. Yeah, so the Yuzo, the Biggest Battle in Tokyo. I've wanted to say Japan many times for this movie, but no, it is Tokyo. As you said, it came out in 2022, and SRS Cinemas released a Blu-ray, which do I own? Yes, I do.
Of course they did.
I own Wrapped Up in the Plastic. Because, well, at the time, a lot of the SRS films had not made it to streaming. I was like, all right, well, I know we're going to do this for the podcast, so my...
And now almost all of them are on Tubi.
Yeah, oh, almost every single one. My thought process was I would watch it and send it along to you.
I'm still waiting.
And then you're stuck with it forever. Not a lot of special features on this one, which is surprising. There's a Q&A with the director, Yoshi
I'd be interested in watching that. So here's the thing. So, okay, let's talk about the movie first. So the movie itself is about a guy named Uki who is unexpectedly fired from his job during the height of the pandemic.
Yes.
And they say unexpectedly. It shouldn't be unexpected. He's terrible.
He's a salary man who pushes off work and is pretty not nice to his subordinates. So, pretty standard character. So it's a bit of a wake-up call. A very, very brief and funny firing sequence over Zoom. And he runs to the office, back to the office to, try to get his job back, I guess. And I think the first chuckle of the movie is when his former boss throws him the kid-sized Corona mask and he wears it to the bar. I was like, oh gosh, that's so silly. Yeah, and he takes a new job, like an entry-level job at another company that is all kinds of businesses. It seems like they do a good deal of recycling. One of their main waste collection things is they're picking up and cleaning discarded COVID masks. Is that accurate?
That is, yeah.
Recycling, yes. But they also have, I guess it's a lot of kind of COVID-related businesses. They're like trying to manipulate the stock market in one section of the business. They're doing fitness classes.
Yeah, it's a scattershot business. There's a lot of odd, and you find out that the whole thing was basically making money so that they could research the cosmos.
Yes, very, very crazy R&D department, which is the founder of the company, is the kind of scientist character in this film who does indeed succeed in reaching out to an alien species, which looks like, honestly, it looks like a Japanese candy. And I'm wondering if it is actually like a cultural thing. It looks like a little gummy character
alien
in the movie. I like a little marshmallow. I want to take a little bite of him.
Yeah, it's very cute. So like Ishii's prior film, this really is more of a quirky, offbeat indie comedy than it is a kaiju film. Like, Patrick and I were talking about this off air a couple days ago, or maybe it's today. They all run together to me about it's not tangential because there is a kaiju in this film, but the kaiju is not really the focus. The kaiju is not Yuzo. So, we kind of refer these less as tangentially, kaiju adjacent, but more kaiju light. Like this, kaiju's in this, and it's a part of this movie, but it's really not the focus of the movie. And
just like in Attack of the Giant Teacher, it doesn't become a threat or the major problem of the film until the third act, which is a lot of buildup. You know, when you have a three-act structure to a film, typically each one is about 30
minutes, that third act.
Minutes. Yeah. I would say the character's kind of climax starts in the middle, the beginning of the third act, but we don't get a very funny baseball crack across the alien's head and it growing to gargantuan size of this kaiju until 10, maybe 15 minutes, but The kaiju is wrapped up in 10 minutes for sure.
Oh, yeah. So he gets a job at this place. I think it's called the Cosmos Company.
Yeah.
Company or Galaxy Company. And so each day he basically is kind of put in a different department to kind of get to know the entire company. So you get to meet the entire crazy cast of characters throughout this movie. There's also bookended by a couple of visits to a very musical bar.
Yeah, they love
musical
singing
numbers in this movie.
Yeah, those parts were very fun. I enjoyed them.
Yeah, the weird thing about this movie is it's really charming. I mean, just like Attack of the Giant Teacher, I really like Ishii's. I like what he sets out to do. I don't know if he always really kind of lands the plane completely, or at least without some turbulence. Mm-hmm. But I do really like what he's setting out to do, and I mean, I feel like the cast really shows up, And there are some really, like, genuinely, like, funny things that happen in this movie. Like, and it's not always, like, the obvious stuff, like cleaning the masks or, hey, this guy happens to always wear a dog costume, even though he goes by a cat name.
Nikojima is very fun. And
I love Nikojima.
Every once in a while, I will scrub through a movie a little bit before I start watching just to be like, okay, how long until we get to the kaiju? And then when I got to it, I saw this person in the dog mask. I was like, oh, I'm spoiling stuff. I shouldn't do this. This is so weird. I texted you. I was like, this movie's ending looks like one of the weirdest that
it's so bizarre, but like it's only bizarre if you see that scene out of context. When you watch the movie, you're like, oh no, this all makes perfect sense.
It's just a guy who was bullied as a kid and put on a dog mask. He's just a furry, Miles.
Yeah, he's just a furry.
A cute furry.
And they don't say we'll use your fursona, but like he says something about a furry outfit.
I love you do get to see his face at the end.
I also love that the secretary is like, who are you?
Yeah. A lot of fun.
But there's some genuinely really funny beats. Like the sequence when, so he goes into, I don't even know what he's supposed to be doing. He's cold calling folks. And I can't remember why.
Yeah, the guy was into the like
horse betting
Yakuza.
I also love that the Yakuza guy, like this guy could have been like a horror movie character in anything else. He's like always got that smile. And yeah. I was like, okay, that's entertaining. But there's this great sequence where like, he's like, oh no, I bought this god and demon statue to give me luck. And he's like, but you keep calling. And so Yuzo's about to pick up the phone, and then he starts just loudly praying to the devil and the Buddha, and Yuzo's just like kind of looking on, and then like in the middle of a loud prayer, he stops and goes, oh, go on, go back to work, and then starts praying again. And I was like, it was such a well-executed comedic beat. I cracked up so hard at that scene.
His voice was hilarious too. I feel like in general, and maybe it's just something about Attack of Giant Teacher. They just didn't ratchet up the absurdity enough. And this movie did.
Yeah, because you had that one guy who was obsessed with like destruction, and you had an interesting cast of characters. They just weren't all brought out to be like insanely funny. And here it's like each day you're like, all right, what am I getting now?
And I think part of it is we've got Hiko Fujita, who plays the main character, Yuzo. He is a very good kind of straight man in this film.
Yeah, he's got that kind of like David Spadey quality where he's playing the straight man, but he's also like a very funny person in his own right the thing.
The movie starts with his like, you know, the current day, and then like it goes back to tell a story where the beginning is him freaking out about being fired and things like that,
and stealing his girlfriend's or ex-girlfriend's dog.
Yeah, it's a great introduction seeing him like completely off the rails, then he goes back to, we see him in his more normal state. Yeah, I enjoyed him a good deal. Like I said, just about every aspect of this I think is just a touch better than Ishii's last film. And we liked his last film. We liked
it. Yeah, I did enjoy it. Like his last film. I think, like I said, I was like, you know, they could have done something without a kaiju and it probably still would have worked. And
yeah.
And part of it is because the kaiju stuff, because this movie has no money. The kaiju stuff does look pretty cheap. I like the suit.
It looks better than Attack of the Giant Teacher still.
It absolutely does. It looks much better than Attack of the Giant Teacher's bit. But I mean,
I love the suit.
It's a very good suit. I like the design. Like, I wish they had money for a better suit, because I was like, this is actually a pretty good design.
Well, I hope collectors out there didn't want to keep a Virus King suit because they blow it up at the end of the film. I feel like that's,
and they
like,
very clearly blow it up because it's like, oh yeah, that's the suit. That is not special effects.
They made two, but who knows? Yeah, do you want to talk a little bit about the kaiju itself, which is, we get scenes of a supposedly teaching herself to be psychic member of the Galaxy Corporation seeing this thing coming. And I think what is supposed to happen is the alien took the form of those fears. And
yeah, I feel
that
like,
is so, how it made its kind of viral form.
The Yakuza are going to take the organs of the guy who owes money for horse betting, because apparently he has used his entire salary that he's borrowed from the company to continue to bet. And he assaults the office with a aluminum bat demanding money. And that's when the alien comes in and he just whacks it.
Very funny.
But when the bat makes contact, yeah, his anxiety and fear, I guess, like, communes with the alien and they combine to create this kaiju.
Yeah. And then boom, it just all of a sudden erupts in place of destroying Tokyo, begins, you know, to play on the COVID era fears and starts sucking people's face masks off their face.
Which,
and
then, I thought was very fun.
And then has a very hilarious low budget kind of power. Has the ability to have these energy tentacles come out of its hands and wrap around people and eats the main character's, I guess, ex-girlfriend at that point.
Yep. But, as well as some of his friends. I do love that the so-called dragon, who has already broken his leg trying to kick the kaiju, makes a second attempt and does kick the laser in half. Which, yeah, I thought was pretty awesome.
He comes back riding like a scooter and his leg in like a splint.
A little twig. So good.
Yeah, some very good fun callbacks like that. I like him and Nekojima, the dog mask employee, setting up all the boxes for when Yuzo falls. Because
the
way to take out this kaiju is to throw a Looney Tunes style like stick. A few sticks of dynamite bundled together into the kaiju's mouth. And they do that with lassoing it with nunchucks and rope. And then with a terrible blue screen kind of climbing up the side of it.
The blue screen is genuinely terrible.
Yeah. But it, like I said, in some of these movies, when it's that bad, it's got to be done on purpose because it looks funny.
I think they do it to where, like, I think they don't have the money, and so they do it in a fashion to where, like, they know if they try to do it legit, it's going to look worse. So if they make it look, and this is already a comedy, so if they make it look a little silly, it works. I don't mind if someone plays it straight and they just don't have the money. Like, that's fine. If you got the strong enough story, I'm gonna follow you. Unfortunately, most of our low budget folks, as the American movies have taught us, don't have a good idea. They just want to rip off everything else that's happened. Well, you're not Zillas and your Zilla foots and all the other garbage that we've had to watch at the end of the 2010s.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate, I did have fun with the blue screen here. I do wish he leaned a little bit more, like, visually on the weirdness of the office, because the vibe I got, and this is a very random thing for me to, like, zero in on, but I felt that the office gave me the vibe of Arthur's office from the live action Tick show from, like, the very first one, the sitcom one.
Yeah.
The one that Christopher Lloyd played Mr. What, Fish Ladder or whatever. Like, that was the vibe I got. And I kind of wish he had leaned in on some of the weird lighting and maybe some odd close ups of the boss and stuff like that. Give it a little more odd flair to it. Like, he almost does it a couple times when Yuzo's, like, hanging out with the guy who does make the bomb. And certainly when he's hanging out with Nekojima and the fitness guy, there are some odd shots here and there. But I really did wish he kind of leaned in visually on the quirkiness of that office, because there's so much to play with there to me.
Going back to Virus King or Kaiju in this film, it was designed by Daisuke Sato, who was both the monster designer and director, of course, of Howl from Beyond the Fog. Which I was very excited about. He's going to be working along with Yoshikazu Ishii in a film from next year, Hoshi 35, which is a similar film, I think, a little more serious than this one. I believe they both worked on special effects for Brush of the God in 2024 as well. So they're going to all come back together. It's kind of like a super group for special effects on some upcoming films that we're going to talk about here on the podcast. But this one did pretty well in my estimation. I think it was filmed slightly after the pandemic. Although, no, Japan was actually in full lockdown. Or at least the country was like closed down for all of 2022. So that when they were making this, it was still like no tourism, right? Because they were really strict on the Olympics, even, which got pushed back, I remember, to 2021. But yeah, I was thinking about going over in and around that time, and we pushed it way back to this year, just because it was still getting back on its feet from basically the entire tourism industry shutting down for years.
I'd be curious, because I feel like some of the theaters had like a live action little statue of, based off the Twitter that I looked at for the movie, of the Virus King.
Yeah, so I wonder if they did make multiple suits, multiple kind of displays for the film. I really do like the design. I like the tail kind of looks like the coronavirus. It's like the spiky little ball, like kind of like Ankylosaurus, and then the back spikes, and the head spike is an interesting interesting look. It is a fairly simple sculpt, you know, kaiju. Like the mouth opens, but that's like about it for movement on that thing. It doesn't have to do a lot in the movie. The arms for the suit actor Kenji Sakama can move a little bit, so he can kind of wave them around. That's about it. That's about all he does in the film. But yeah, when he's in the movie for 10 minutes, I guess you don't need to make a super mobile suit for the suit actor. And he's not interacting with buildings or, you know, other actors or anything really.
Yeah, which is, you know, a little bit of a bummer. Like I would have liked to have seen a little bit more, because like you don't get like any fun like destruction or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But you do get the whole like confrontation sequence is very funny, because you have this just, you know, bonkers cast of characters just like posting up to this kaiju. Like there's no like, they're all just like running at this thing for no reason.
Throwing kicks at it, yeah.
But did you have a favorite part of the movie?
Oh, did I write anything here in my notes? Like I said, I love the dog. I love that the dog doesn't know it's in a movie. But yeah, I think the introduction of Neko Jima is my favorite part. And then later on, when it comes back to the timing on the flipping of those, he has to write everything that he is saying. Like
that is very funny.
Pretty much like Wile E. Coyote, just like that kind of comedic timing of him writing on this little whiteboard and flipping it around. Very funny stuff. He is just like the craziest of all the cast of characters. So I feel like if people aren't up to that level, he's just on a whole nother. He feels like a character from another movie, you know.
He does. Well, it's wild, because like at first I was like, oh, are they going to go like weird horror with this? Because like they could have easily have made that like a very creepy character, and it's not. Like he is literally just a sweet little dum-dum.
Did you have a favorite part?
Oh, I mean, I did mention that one sequence of the gag of him, of the one guy praying and then stopping to tell Yuzo to keep calling people while he's like wailing as loud as possible. There's a lot of these little moments like that. Like you, I really did enjoy the singing bar. I thought that was very funny, especially because the movie also seems to forget that Yuzo had a romantic interest, and so when Yuzo visits the bar again after work one day, I think after he visits the chairman,
yeah, he's like, you're doing it for your girl. It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah, and then they're like that was a great bit. But yeah, I mean, it's a very funny, enjoyable movie, despite the fact that like it is very much like, I mean, kept together by duct tape.
Well, do you want to get to talking about rating?
There's not a whole lot more. I mean, this is a quirky comedy, and so there's not a whole lot to say. But yeah, let's do our personal ratings. What you got?
Well, first things first, I guess, you know, find this on Tubi and watch this for yourself. But my personal enjoyment for the film, I do think this is one of the better of the kaiju comedies. Not that that is like a high bar.
Whoa. We got our boy Minoru Kawasaki. You know, he's delivered some pretty golden movies.
Well, I was looking back, and I do think Kaiju Mono is still the highest rated of kind of like this subgenre, along
did,
with.
Did we rate that or Outer Man higher?
They are both, well, Podcast Final, they're both an 8.
Okay. Both great movies. Loved them both.
Yeah, I think we I think we both gave both of them an 8. I don't think this is that level, but I think because there are so many good ones. I do really enjoy the characters in this film. I feel like a couple of them probably could have used a little bit more, or maybe we could have just taken one or two out. But yeah, I kind of wish there was a little bit more to the film in general. Mm-hmm. I think I can watch it again. And like I said, it is on Tubi, so it is like a very accessible film, at least right now, besides having the Blu-ray on my shelf. So yeah, that's the mark of a 7 out of 10 for personal enjoyment in my book. Maybe on certain days closer to a 6 out of 10, but at least for my first watch through, I was pleasantly surprised that I did enjoy this more than the director's prior film. And I enjoyed that one. A 6 out of 10 is also a good in our book. So What about you, Miles?
I am absolutely right there with you. I was at a high 7, a high 6, low 7, but yeah. I'm settling on a 7 myself because I feel the exact same way. This is a very enjoyable movie. I'm at no point was I like mad I was watching this movie. Which is not always the case with some of these kaiju comedies. Even Minoru Kawasaki, who I like, you know, I think famously didn't like some of his earlier stuff, you know, and famously no one cares about things, but
famous but hater.
I do think it's a very fun, quirky indie comedy, and it's that first, and it does that very well. It doesn't excel in kind of connecting all the dots. And like you, I felt like I needed more narrative meat on the bone. I felt like, yeah, either some of the characters needed more fleshing out, or I don't want to take anyone out. If I had to take someone out, I don't even take him out. Cause I was going to say the recycling trash guy, but you got the whole wiggling dance, and you gotta keep the wiggling dance.
I hated the wiggling dance, but
I love the wiggling dance. Enjoyed it was it. So funny.
Like, well, I disliked it at first, but bringing it back for the kaiju at the end, I was like, okay, I understand.
It was funny when it's brought back. When you first see it, you're like, okay, that's dumb. But then when he brought it back, and then you see the kaiju at first move a little bit, I was like, okay, well done. I like this a lot. But yeah, this movie is bare bones, and sometimes like very much shows it in a way that like you're like, oh, I wish they had just like, you know, had a little bit more money or a little more effort here. But this is a very fun indie quirky comedy. It is very much a kaiju light, and the kaiju part is probably the least interesting. Like it's fun because like it kind of, you know, caps off the story, but like it also could have been a big space alien thing, and that would have worked as well. Like I feel like the kaiju situation could have been interchanged with a couple of different oddities, and it would not have changed the movie at all.
Well, what, speaking of their budget, how do you rate their technical aspects on this film? Did they do a lot with what they had?
Because I absolutely respect what they did with what they had. That said, you know, I would have liked a little more visual panache from Ishii. I think he's got what it takes. I just don't know. I don't know if he just didn't think about it, or was rushed, or maybe wasn't confident. I don't know, but I do think he has a good eye. I think he should make the kind of step to make some bold, you know, visual stylistic choices. I thought the script could have used some punching up. Like you, I felt like there was, you know, there are several moments where I'm like, it just kind of like gives you a very like superficial kind of like, this is happening. And you're like, yeah, I want a little more than that. You know, I especially wanted more time with his day with the chairman. And that whole odd day
was pretty short. Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, I'm not going to knock them for like, I think for what they had, like the special effects, as cheap as they are, it's not like they were lazy about it. I mean, like, I don't think they were being lazy. Mm-hmm. And I think like you said, with the green screen, like if you're going to do it like that, like we might as well have fun with it and make it look purposefully bad. So it generates chuckles because you're in a comedy.
Yep.
All that said, I do like all the actors. Like, there's a lot of good stuff here. There's not a lot of great stuff. I think this material could have been elevated. And so, like I said, some of that the scripting does hold it back. I'm actually at a 6 for this one.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Just that's where I was for Yoshikazu's Ishii's Attack of the Giant Teacher. Very good. That movie felt even more low budget than this one somehow. But yeah, I just didn't feel like this comedy was as simple. Definitely still parts of it felt very kind of television quality, but there were parts of the movie that also kind of elevated beyond that. And it just sometimes it's like you can tell that they are shooting in a office space and they have a very small part of that office to work with.
Oh, yeah.
So they redress it in a few different ways. But I do like, I think it is an upgrade. The change of scenery from a school with a bunch of, you know, an adult education school with a bunch of eccentric people in it to this office of super weirdos is a bit of an upgrade. Kind of plot wise, I feel like I just enjoyed this one a good deal more.
I did too.
The soundtrack and the special effects, a little dated, but like I said, just slightly better than his previous film. I kind of like the main riff for this movie as far as music goes.
Yeah.
Music sometimes they're awful. They're just out here using like stock music. It's very hard to get through.
Using that very 90s, like, you know, PBS style, like,
yeah, or comedy soundtrack. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is not good. So I do appreciate that.
So I'm giving it a bit higher score, giving it a 7 out of 10. And a lot of that is because I do feel like the script was very funny. The actors, very funny.
It is very funny. I absolutely agree.
But sadly, you know, for its importance as a kaiju movie, like as we said, we were, you know, talking about it being a comedy movie first and a kaiju film kind of second. And because of that, it's getting a 5 out of 10 out of me. It is a not a kaiju-like film, which is often a problem with things that are kind of kaiju-esque. It's very clearly a kaiju at the end of the film, but it is a comedy kaiju movie instead of a kaiju comedy, if you get my drift.
It's,
you
it's
know,
it's kaiju-light.
Yeah. not saying like that's should give it all the points in the world. Like Queen Kong is technically a kaiju comedy. It doesn't make it a good or important movie. No.
For it to qualify as a kaiju comedy, it has to be funny.
Yeah, kaiju.
And Queen Kong tragedy. Is an affront on the celluloid upon which it was made.
But yeah, like you said, you could take the kaiju part of this and it'd still be a very funny comedy in its own right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I kind of wish it was weaved more into the plot, I guess, a little bit.
Agreed.
So 5 out of 10 for me. What about you, Miles?
I'm right there with you. For the exact same reasons, we're pretty copacetic on this one today.
Yeah,
but I do give it a 5 because if it comes up in conversation, like, and that's one of the things I always think about. Like, if someone's talking to me about kaiju movies and you know asking my opinions about certain things, this is a movie that I would absolutely tell someone to go see because it's a fun movie to watch. But as a kaiju movie, I it would be like, I'm not going to say go run out and see this. Like, this is not nowhere near the top of your list at all. Mm-hmm. But if you come across it, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a very fun indie comedy to watch. It's just like, don't go watching this for the kaiju, and don't go watching this for it being a kaiju movie. But it is a good Japanese indie comedy.
Yes, very, very fun. We've had a few of them. I feel like I said, this is middle of the pack. They just taking a look at our scoring for the middle most part. If we're starting with Big Man Japan, it's kind of like the Japanese comedy kaiju movie that kind of kicked off, I would say, a run of them, you know, over the last decade or so. This one is right in the middle. Death Kappa is another one that we did. I guess you rated a little bit lower. I actually kind of like that movie, but we gave that as a podcast a 6. This one's also getting a 6. So I guess it's not too bad down there. But our reviews for the Raiga series, I guess the later ones are definitely comedies, are a bit below this. And like we said, both Outer Man and Kaiju Mono got greats out of us, got an 8 out of 10, which is great. So not that this, I don't think this will, no, we have a few more Japanese kaiju comedies, I think.
I mean,
to go.
Also, Kaiju Mono had the distinction of like making it kind of wrestling themed and having Kota Ibushi and Minoru Suzuki in it. So it's like, oh yeah, well, mm-hmm. as a fan of Japanese wrestling, I'm also like, oh well, this is awesome. Like,
well, and it also just had action in it. You know, you know, you were going to actually have some wrestling moves. Someone getting
drop kicked. Kota Ibushi and Minoru Suzuki fighting a kaiju. That was awesome. I loved that so much.
go back and rate that movie higher. So yeah, 6 out of 10 for this film, pretty much where I expected it to land. I feel like I said, if they had just incorporated this great Virus King more into the movie, like how funny would it have been if it had been there the entire time, like while I was trying to complete this job. Like, you know, the movie starts with this kaiju attacking Tokyo. I feel like they could have done a lot of fun stuff with that. But yeah, that is going to do it for this week's episode. You can find us online at our website, kaijuversushistory.com. You can email us, kaijuversushistory@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Discord. We're in the Cosmic Crit Discord. It's our other sister podcast, brother podcast. It sounds weird to gender the podcast, but we have a whole Kaiju versus History section that we've had a lot of people join up and chat Kaiju with us. That is where we don't do a lot of social media, but you can find us there to talk about your favorite new Kaiju projects, as well as Blue Sky. Our good friend Jared over there has posted a couple of kaiju mangas that have just started up in the last year or so, including Kaiju Kemui and Gaia Tima the Gigantus, two manga that I thank you very much for pointing out, because believe it or not, I had not heard of them before. So they are in my wish list now to read, hopefully around the holidays when I have some time. Right, that's going to do it. Miles, thank you for listening. What are we doing next week?
Well, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, listeners. And we're going to catch you next time when we take a little holiday break. And what better way to do that than watch some movies that are very not safe for work? We have a very special episode next week, just in time for Christmas. But we'll be celebrating Triple Xmas, if you know what I mean, with a quick look at few films that fall under the Giantess banner. So join us as we get jolly with Molly and jingle with giant singles in your area, and tune in next week for History versus the Giantess Holiday Special.